I would say that, you know, all of the things that you can do to plan are great. And I think when we get up to summer and we're like, oh, we're here and we've got everything in place, it feels awesome. So again, start early. But I also want to echo what we talked about earlier and say, make sure to leave room for summer. Like, this is, you know, you think back to your childhood and you had 18 summers, you know, you've seen all of those things, but we don't get those summer breaks back, most of us. So all the things are great and get signed up for them, but also make sure to leave room for just no routine at all for a little bit, because it is refreshing.
This is the Bridge Podcast.
Hi, thank you for joining the Bridge Podcast. I'm Ashley Chantel, and I'm here today on behalf of CREW, our Families Employee Resource Group. We're excited to host this month and talk about one of our favorite topics, just planning for the summer. I'm here with two other CREW members, Haley Byers and Rachel Schroeder, and we're here to share our tips and tricks for how to navigate the summer and making sure our kids and families have the best summer yet. So we'll start off with just a brief introduction. Let's talk about maybe how long you've been with the company, your role, maybe your involvement with the CREW ERG, and tell us a little bit about your CREW. So I guess I can go first as the host. So I have been with the company for just over 7 years. I am currently the VP of Application Development, and I am the sponsor of CREW. So I have had the luxury of serving on CREW for 2 years and then transitioned to sponsor it and work with this lovely group of people. And it's just one of those bucket fillers for me. So in my CREW at home, I've got three busy kiddos that keep us running around everywhere. So I have a sixth grader named Cora, a fourth grader named Lydia, and then a soon-to-be kindergartner, Everett. And so we are in three different schools this year, navigating three different summer agendas. And it'll be interesting to hear what Haley and Rachel can give me tips, because I'm going to learn from both of them today. So Haley, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Haley Byers. I've been with Farm Credit Services of America for a little over 8 years. I'm a product owner of our appraisal systems. This will be my third year of CREW, my final year. I started off the first year as a member, and I was fortunate enough last year to be our CREW leader, and they're letting me stick around for my third year as a member again. I really enjoy CREW. It really, like Ashley says, it fills my bucket. Me and my husband, Jacob Byers, he works at Farm Credit Services of America as well as an agency sales specialist. And at home, we have three very, very active boys, Gavin, who's 9, Grady, who's 6, and Garrett's just about to turn 5. How about you, Rachel?
Yeah, I'm Rachel Schroeder. I'm a retail closing specialist out of the Kearney office. And I have been with the company just at 5 years. My involvement with CREW, I've been on the CREW group for, this is my second year. And my CREW at home, my husband and I, we have 4 kids, Blake, who is 23 and out of the nest now. Owen, who is 14 and a freshman. Jocelyn, who is a sixth grader, and Maddie in kindergarten. So we have a wide age range of kids that keep us going in all different directions all the time.
Yes, it's funny, Rachel, because we do have some overlap in that sixth grade and kindergarten age range. But then Haley and I are going to learn a lot from you, I think, with your maybe a little bit more expertise in summer navigating. So excited to hear what tips you've got for us today. So I know it's a little odd to think about in February to start thinking about summer. It's cold outside. You're like, the summer is, you know, months away. But the reality is we really do have to start planning for summer long before we're really in that mode. So let's start with just an overview of what your planning process looks like and what you would consider as you think about your kids' schedule and planning a summer for them.
Yeah, Ashley, I can start with telling you a little bit more about our planning process. A few years back, I guess I would call it a planning fail with our oldest, Gavin. It was his first time having to be out of daycare for the summer, and I went to go register him for all the fun camps in March and realized, holy buckets, I missed all the deadlines. So he ended up that summer Just having to go to the before and after school program every week. And there was a lot of complaints from him that he didn't want to go anymore. And then at the same time, I and my mama heart was hurting because I remember being a kid and I went to all the sports camps and the art camps and I went to an overnight camp. So I was determined that next year that I am going to be on top of it this year and I'm going to get my little boy into some camps. So, yeah, about January that summer before, or the January before that next summer, he was ready to go to camp. I reached out to three of my mom friends. We all had boys similar ages. We all lived near each other. We were all already carpooling and said, "Hey, why don't we come up with a plan and we can work together and get them to some different camps and have them have a great summer experience." So we made a shared spreadsheet and we went out to every single camp website around Omaha that we thought what the kids would be interested in. We put down the dates of when the camp was, when you needed to sign up, how long the camp was, if you how much the cost was. And then below that we had each family's name and then every week of the summer and then each family, once we signed up for a camp, we'd mark it, or if we had a summer vacation that we wouldn't be around to carpool. And so we kind of all got in sync that way. And that really helped plan out the summer. And we were online together when camps would open and be like, okay, it's in. So we could all try to get in because some of them close so fast. You only have like a 30-minute window or less.
You know, Haley, it's funny hearing you say that because I think there's, if you ever have some extra spare time, I know with three little boys, you're probably like, what spare time? But you are like the queen of mom networking. And I admire this so much about you because you have this tremendous network of being like, oh, we're going to carpool to this. And so if you ever have time, you could write a book on that. But yeah, definitely it sounds like you guys got your stuff organized together and rallied the troops to get everywhere where they needed to be.
They say it takes a village, and I've got a pretty good one that I'm very thankful for.
Awesome. Rachel, what about you? What does your planning process look like?
Well, mine is so much different in that we live in a rural area. You know, we're 30 miles away from the closest city where any of the camps are kind of taking place during the day. So my main focus is finding a responsible person, most likely a high school girl that is willing to play with my 5-year-old, with my Maddie. Owen's old enough now that he's working on the farm during the summer, so he's not home. And Jocelyn is kind of getting into that preteen age where it's not as fun to play with her little sister. So, my biggest focus, especially this year, is working on finding one or two responsible fun high school girls that my girls are comfortable with to kind of be a buffer between my two, to play with Maddie and entertain her. Driving isn't a must. It would definitely be a perk just with swimming lessons and maybe, you know, going to the pool, which is a travel. It's not something, you know, they can just walk to during the day. So, I mean, there's a couple different boxes that I want to check. Definitely somebody that's enthusiastic about, like I said, playing with my 5-year-old, and then one that's also going to have fun with Jocelyn, who's 12. So that's kind of what my process is starting to look like. Just making sure I have someone around for those girls during the day, as like I said, my older son is going to be working and he won't be able to be around. There are some opportunities for some camps for Jocelyn as far as like sports camps and things like that, but I think we'll talk about that as we get farther along into our conversation.
Yeah, Rachel, I could really learn from you. This is going to be our Garrett, my youngest, is going to kindergarten in August. So we will be out of daycare. Thank goodness. We're going to be a lot more, have a lot more funds. And I thought maybe that next summer it'd be great to, if we could get like a nanny that could also help taxi them and entertain them and just kind of let them be a kid in the summer.
Yeah, I'll touch a little bit about our planning process because we've kind of done a little bit of a hybrid of both of your models. So we did a couple years where it was very heavy on camps and a couple years where we leaned more into a nanny. And so What I've honestly looked, if I, my sixth grader, so we've been doing this for 5 or 6 years. If I look back, every year, every summer has looked just a little bit different. I did learn the hard way, like you, Haley, that it starts in January. One of the, my, even this year, it caught me by surprise a little bit because someone said, "Oh, I'm registering for, camp at the Rose Theater." And it was the first week of January. I was like, I'm not even back to work yet. So the difficulty of getting that started early, especially because not all organizations advertise their camps as early as January. So putting this puzzle piece can be challenging. But the other thing that I have evolved over the years is that I kind of have to strike the right balance between keeping them so busy and doing all the things and just letting them be kids and have a summer. So it really switched for us a little bit in the summer of 2020 and 2021 when, working from home, we were at that point all fully remote for 2020. And so finding that balance of, okay, they need structure, but they also just need to go be bored and find a way to fill that boredom and navigate, hey, go solve it by seeing if so and so down the street wants to play, or do you want to do a lemonade stand? And so I think that when I look at my schedule for this summer, it's about 12 weeks long. I try to build in a couple, usually we have a family vacation in there, but I try to build in a couple days where they don't have anything strictly planned so that we have rooms for sleepovers and a spontaneous day at the pool with a friend, or hey, you want to have just a casual neighborhood get together, let's do that. And so that's really how I try to usually maybe do every other week if it works out that way. I also coordinate with my village to coordinate some of the camps, especially as they get older. They might say, "Oh, I'm too old for that camp," or I don't want to go, but it's a little easier if you can convince them that a friend that they know is going to be there and they get to, or in my case, also their cousins are their similar age, and so we try to coordinate that way. So but then this is a kind of a good segue. In the last couple of years, we had switched to more of a nanny approach. And so that nanny has been with us for 3 summers. The first year she was all, like 3 full days every day in a row, and gave them money to go do some minor things. And then in this last summer, it evolved more into, we called her the field trip nanny. So she was a working college student at that point, but she loved it because I would say, "Hey, what 2 afternoons this week might work for you to go take them bowling or do, laser tag or whatever it might be?" And so it worked well for her because it was very flexible, and it worked great for my kids because it introduced that variety. What I will say though is this is maybe our next topic, which is transitioning to when I was trying to make that segue to a nanny, I wasn't really sure where to start. Like, what age are we looking for? What do you, Rachel, do you have interview questions that you use? Or and I'd like to hear kind of what you did when, as far as like, once you've kind of nailed down you want to use a nanny, what are questions you ask yourself?
I think that's something good to think about. I think that I have a little bit of an advantage because our kids go to a school with 200 kids total, pre-K through seniors. So, you get to know a lot of these kids really well. So, you see them at all the sporting events, things like that. So, questions that I think are important have to do with how they feel. It's maybe not even the questions that you ask, but the way they interact with the girls when they're around them for a while. So I always make sure that we have them come over for an evening before the summer, an evening or two, and watch the girls while we go out to dinner or go do something in town. Without the kids, just to kind of see how things go, what the kitchen looks like when I get home, what everything kind of looks like when I get home, but then sort of how the girls are feeling when we get there too, and what they have to say. It's sort of like they are the ones doing the interview, more than me, in that how do we feel about this girl? Oh my gosh, when does Ellie get to come back and play with me? Or you bring it up, can we have Ellie instead of, Katie or whatever? And so obviously I know these girls, I know their parents, I know their families, that kind of thing. I wouldn't just put some person I didn't trust there and let the girls decide, you know, but you understand what I'm saying. Like, how do they feel? Like, what's their enthusiasm level when they get done?
Yeah, it definitely feels good when they're asking for them to come back, or oh, I had so much, they actually play with me and they weren't on their phone. And that's always a good feeling that you're leaving your kids in some good hands.
Yeah, I have to say that one of the biggest things that struck out or stuck out to me was when we had had several babysitters before in the evenings, just for short stints. But they were all one night we needed to go somewhere and all of my usual go-tos were full. And so someone had suggested this other girl. So the kids were like, oh yeah, sure, whatever. We know her and we know their family, whatever. So she came over, and when I got home, the girl had cooked dinner, had washed and dried and put away all the dishes. Like, my kitchen was cleaner than when I left home. And I thought, wow, that was really nice of her to not only make the meal for the kids, but then clean up after it too. I think they'd baked brownies or cupcakes or something. There wasn't a mess in sight. And one of my usual gals had baked something with the girls the last time she watched them. And my kitchen was a disaster when I got home. Dirt, all the dirty dishes, like the whole bit. And it did make a big difference in how I felt when I, you know, went to decide which one I wanted to use again. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I can say that I once you establish kind of that relationship with our nanny, it was really nice because I would leave like, hey, I need the girls to do XYZ chores, and making sure that she kind of would help them get those done. So it wasn't, you know, a huge long list, but it was, you know, if you go swimming, I need you to start a load of towels. Or the other thing, when I was looking, I was making sure that my expectations were clear around, you know, we're not going to be on our screens all day. I'll allow this much screen time, but I want you to be engaged. And Rachel, I will laugh though, because my girls very much like they were at one point before the summer she went to college. They were like, we're going to go shopping for her dorm. And they were like spending her own money. They were spending her money. I was like, well, let's maybe dial. But they were having so much fun, like dreaming of. And so then when she moved into college, they were like, can we see, you know, Jenna's dorm room? And we want to hear all about it. And so it was very cool to see the relationship that they had. And that's how, like, when you know you found a good nanny, that's why I was like, we're asking her back. And so I told her when she left, you know, that fall, I said, if you want a nanny job next summer, it's yours. I'll reach out again in January because things can change. Maybe might have had an internship or had other plans, but she always had the first option. And that was really, really critical in establishing like we value, and I gave her a raise every summer too. And so that was, you know, kind of the first summer I worked with her mom to kind of determine, and other moms, like, what is a reasonable rate? Is this fair? And she said, yeah, that's fair. And then when I was like, okay, now I've seen what you've done, then I made sure to bump that up each summer. So always paid an hourly rate for the hours that she was at our house, and we would just pay via Venmo, but I always paid hourly. And then on top of it, whatever activities they would do, I gave them kind of a budget for the summer, and they would do different things each week. And so she was really, really great at communicating about that. So that's what kind of what I look for is, you know, is she responsible? Is she getting back to me when I have a question about, hey, you know, can you do this or a different day? So just loved having that arrangement. But besides nannies, though, we do know that summer camps can be another route. So we've talked a little bit already about camps, but it can be overwhelming. So Haley, you mentioned that you have a spreadsheet, and we talked about how the first year you kind of missed the boat on that. So when you're looking at camps and you're looking at all those options, how do you evaluate which camps to do, and how do you navigate those signups?
Yeah, when it came down to finally making the decision on all the camps that we have researched, we kind of kept in mind their interests. All the boys were into sports. We're like, we got to get them into some sports camp. Also, checking the hours were important. A half day versus a full day makes a big difference. So we don't have to run in the middle of the workday to get them home. Another important thing was cost. Some of them can get very expensive. The city of Omaha has two great camps that they like to go to. They're the full week, they're $100. Another important thing was, is he going to have a friend there? Selfishly, like, do I have to make him lunch every day, or can they provide that? Because that's just another thing to do in the morning. And then location, how far from work is it? There is a Creighton camp that he loves. It's in Council Bluffs, but I'm willing to go there because I can drop him off as early as 7:30 or so, and then we can pick him up at 5:30. So I can have a full work day and just have to do a little longer commute, but that's worth it because he just loves to go there and see all the players and get autographs. And I'm just also really thankful for Farm Credit Services of America that we have some of that flexibility. We have that work-life balance that they really promote that, and I don't have to feel guilty to take my kid to a camp that he really wants to go to.
Yeah, I think, kind of leaning into what your kids' interests are for that year is also really helpful. So I always kind of sit down with the girls and think about what are two or three camps that might be on their like must-do list. So similar to the Omaha camp that you said, the YMCA camp in Gretna, we love to do that one. It's easy and their friends are nearby. They go swimming. So those are usually 2 weeks of the year. But then we try to factor in a couple other things. So I have one that's more interested in sports and one that's more interested in show choir. And so trying to kind of find a way to get them there. I would echo, Haley, what you said though about the work-life flexibility, because it is such a gift that we get to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to get them to camp at 8:15 and I'll be in at stand up a little bit later, or I'll work from home for the first hour and get them there. So just cannot say enough, because I think that our summer planning also probably looks a little different than if it was like as rigid maybe as it might have been like a decade ago for wherever I was at. So the other thing I'll say is throughout the year, as people talk about their summer, I'll make a note for next year. Okay, maybe we didn't get to that camp this year, but if, if I hear, oh, that Creighton camp is awesome, maybe I'll add that Haley went to the Creighton camp. Maybe I could carpool with her, and I'll kind of keep a running list, because at the end of the day, when I put vacations in, some of them overlap, and so I like to just have some options though. So, Rachel, do you have anything on camps, or not so much since you kind of stick more with the nanny route?
Yeah, we don't have a lot. Jocelyn always likes to participate in volleyball camps, and we're really lucky that we have UNK just right down the road. They have some really great volleyball camps that people travel from a long ways away, and we don't have to do that. We can just go daily. So, but otherwise, we really don't take advantage of a lot of the camps in Kearney, just because we're so far outside.
Yeah, that makes good sense. That was those conversation that we were just having was mostly about day camps, but there's also this overnight camp in the mix, which takes out the carpooling aspect maybe, and takes out the do you have to make lunch from every day, but it can add other things, other variables into the mix, like probably more expensive, and how are your kids going to do with overnight camp? So I guess I would ask, if you've sent your kids to overnight camp, how did you know they were ready? And when you started, did the first night, did you do like a, an introduction to camp, like an easy one or two night, or did you go for a little bit longer camp and maybe talk a little bit about what that overnight camp experience was like?
I can go if you
Go for
want.
it.
So my oldest son Gavin has done an overnight camp. The first time he went, I kind of gauged if he was ready by how well he did on a sleepover with his friends. And if that went okay, like I knew he would be ready for overnight camp. And so we started with a one night camp. And made sure that he had some buddies there with like a safe space. The camp that he goes to is a Christian camp in Fremont, and they do a great job of honoring bunk mate requests. So him and his four buddies went, they shared a cabin, they had bunk beds, and they loved it. They have so many activities to do. They have an app. They send us parents pictures on an app so we can kind of follow along with what they're doing. I don't know if he loved the activities more or the snack shack that he spent quite a bit of money on, or the soda fountain that you could have after you drink two glasses of water. But in my mind, when I picked him up from camp, he was going to be so sad because he missed me so much and like was going to give me a big hug. And I pick him up, he gets in the car and goes, ah, next year I'm doing 3 nights. And I was like, oh, missed you too, buddy. Actually, my middle one I just signed him up last night. He is going to try the one night camp at the same place. He was a little bit more hesitant at first. Then he found out that his buddies were going to go, and he loves sleepovers. So he said he was okay to sign up, and he told me that he can't wait to see what he's like all hopped up on Dr. Pepper. So let's pray for those camp counselors. But yeah, that's kind of how we gauge it, to see how they do with sleepovers. And if he would have told me no, I wouldn't have forced it at all.
Yeah, my kids are so funny. We had two wildly different experiences. So, both around fourth grade was when they both went. They had done well with sleepovers. They seemed excited. They had a friend to go with. And so the one church camp loved that. Next year did Girl Scout camp. Absolutely loved it. Could not have phased her to go a couple more nights. The other one, on the other hand, apparently did not love it. And I didn't know this until I went to pick her up. But she had been very, very sad and wrote me like a letter that I got several days after camp. And I was like, oh no. But it's a true testimony to how amazing the counselors were, because they got her eventually. They got her kind of out of the homesickness, and they got her to enjoy it. But it was so funny because you talk about spending money at the snack shack, Haley. Well, I have a really funny story. It's actually another coworker here at Farm Credit. Her daughter and my daughter went to this camp, and we said, well, how much are we going to send for the souvenir shop? And we said, okay, well, we'll give them 40, but maybe tell them to spend 30. Like, that's our goal. But we'll just, in case, something's a little extra. So we show up together to pick up the girls, and they were both so excited. They said, "Mom, look what we got." And they show us these sweatshirts, and they are like giant. And we're like, "Oh, what size are those?" And they're like, "Adult large." And both girls, I mean, they're petite little fourth graders, right? And so we were just like, "Oh, that's one way to spend the money." But that was one of her favorite memories from that camp. She still wears the sweatshirt. It's way too big, but you know what? It's a really funny story for her, and it does remind her that she did have some really good nights. She did not opt to go back to overnight camp this year. We're going to stick with day camps, and you know what? That's okay. We tried it, and that's all I can ask. But it was just kind of one of those very interesting observations as a parent to have kids that are wildly different in how they navigate that, because some are up for the challenge and want to do 3 nights, like Haley said, and some are maybe not. So, Rachel, what about you?
I can echo what you guys have both said, gauging their readiness based on how well they do at sleepovers. So Jocelyn has the opportunity to go to like a week-long church camp this year, but I am hesitating a little bit because a lot of times when she spends the night at a friend's house, she'll end up texting and telling me she misses me and that kind of a thing. And she's 12, but so we're still sort of working through that. They actually, none of them have done an overnight camp. Our oldest, Blake, like I said, my one that flew the coop already, he did a church camp several years in a row and he absolutely loved it. Now, a lot of times he would go with a cousin or a buddy. So also echoing that I think makes that stay away from home a little more comforting when you do have somebody that you know. So he really enjoyed doing that. He now volunteers at a camp, a week-long camp for kids that are part of the foster care system. And so I don't know if his love, I think he's sort of transferred that love of being a camper over to being a great camp counselor for these kids that get to go experience that too. So I love that for him.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. He would tell you, and I think they all tell you, like they definitely feel like they get so much out of it, versus even what those kids get out of it too. So it's great. But yeah, my kids have not gone on one, and I don't know that this year will be the year yet either. So
Maybe next,
maybe next
right?
year.
Yeah, th this summer we're throwing a different variety for my oldest. Instead of church camp, she's going on a mission trip. And I said we because I'm going with her. So I get to spend 7 nights with 6th through 8th grade girls going to Colorado. So please pray for
We'll
me.
pray for you.
It's going to be an experience, but it's one of the, I will take it. My preteen wants to spend time with me, and thinks I'm cool enough yet. So I will cherish these moments while they are, I'm sure, not going to last forever. I'll take it. So.
Here's your podcast ponder question.
All right. Well, that brings us next to our kind of our final question. Our podcast ponder question for the session today is, if you were to give one piece of advice to a parent who has kids just entering into elementary school, meaning they've never navigated having to plan a summer without daycare, what would you tell them? What do you wish that you had known?
I can go first on that one. I have a few pieces of advice, and one would be like start early, like I learned from my mistakes. And then also make sure they have friends going, but also encourage them to make new friends that you can have. You can never have too many friends, and it's always nice to network and meet new kids, and then have a good carpool system because that always helps if you're not constantly the driver. And then lastly, remind them to reapply sunscreen when they are outside.
Yes, thankfully at the Y, they made sure to spray him down every hour. And I was like, thank you. Thank you so much. I would prefer not to deal with sunburns. So.
And my oldest tan's pretty good, but he's got a buddy that's pretty fair skinned. And I was like, you be his helper and you get his back and you hurts more than a burn.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that, you know, all of the things that you can do to plan are great. And I think when we get up to summer and we're like, oh, we're here and we've got everything in place, it feels awesome. So again, start early. But I also want to echo what we talked about earlier and say, make sure to leave room for summer. Like this is, you know, you think back to your childhood and you had 18 summers, you know, you've seen all of those things, but we don't get those summer breaks back. Most of us. So make sure to leave some room for just like sleeping in and, you know, playing outside or whatever.
In the neighborhood or.
Yes. Yeah. Leave room for boredom, like Ashley said too, because we definitely want to make sure our kids have to find their way out of boredom too. So all the things are great and get signed up for them, but also make sure to leave room for just no routine at all for a little bit because it is refreshing.
I think some of my summer memories are like a cleaning list that my mom left.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, we actually, in the last couple of years, as my girls have gotten a little bit older, we left a simple checklist. It wasn't a lot, and they knew kind of what was on it. And it involved things like read 20 minutes, get outside for 30 minutes, play a game, like simple enough stuff, but it helped give them some idea of what to do, but didn't give that structure. They could navigate it however they wanted. They could choose when it had, like, they could watch one movie. They could choose to watch that movie at 9 a.m. or they could save it till the end of the day, but they knew that once they watched it, the TV had to go off. So that was a helpful spreadsheet that I loved. The other thing I will say is when you are leaving room for summer, one thing that I found helpful is just to know maybe kids and parents who are home in your neighborhood. So you can, so like when I work from home, I will happily drive them to the pool over lunch and then maybe go pick them up at a couple hours later. But knowing the, whose mom or dads can get them to and from, you know, like more local places like the library and the pool and things, or just hang out to play, but they live, you know, 5 blocks away. Making sure I had kind of a short list of, hey, go see if so-and-so wants to play or ride your bike over there. That kind of can help navigate too. Cause I do believe in the balance of get some camps, get some structures in there, but then also navigating just trying to, you know, keep in touch with their friends over the summer and get ready for the next school year. Cause we're all tired when we get out of the school year, and they are too. We're all exhausted, right? So the summer is meant to be a kind of a relief and a, kind of a re-energizing period. And I think never losing sight of that is just helpful. That's what I would tell myself. So
that gives me an idea, Ashley. I wonder if there's like a summer day bingo card where you have to read the 20 minutes, and maybe I can post that on our crew page. So.
Ooh, I love that. Yes, Haley is, besides having the greatest mom network, she's also the queen of Canva printables. And so you can find those on our Viva Engage page. She usually will post them for various holidays or things. But just, we're so lucky to have both of you on crew because everyone brings kind of different perspectives. And, you know, that's an example of just different things that people, we all have families and we're all trying to navigate. And so I love, Haley, that you're like, I'm on it. I'm got the bingo. I've also heard of like a summer reading bingo too, where they do something like that.
Or the summer bucket list. Some families
yes.
do too. It's fun.
That's what I was going to say. The summer bucket list, or like even a summer scavenger hunt that kind of takes you all summer, not necessarily, but like finding different things similar to the bucket list.
We had a summer bucket list.
Funny story on the summer bucket list though. So here's, if depending on if you have a list maker, like I may be, and I have children who are like that, but I made a summer bucket list 1 year, and I had a daughter who's like, she understood the assignment to be, I must cross everything off. A, I must cross everything off, but B, I need to do it as fast as possible. And I was like, whoa, like these were just ideas. Like even if we got a third of the bucket list done, that's a really cool summer. And so we had to like have a little bit of a reconciling of like, okay, this was just a list of ideas. This was not an assignment, right? And so that we joke about that now, because the first year I was like, I have this bucket list, and it didn't go as smoothly the first week or two, because she was seriously trying to check like five or six things off every day. And
yeah,
some of
the
them
problem
were
of,
bigger things.
You need to know the budget. We're not going to Disney World and Mexico and five other places this summer by airplane.
Yes. But yeah, there's lots of examples out there on the internet of a good balance of things that are free, things that you can do with a low budget, and kind of balance that out. Cause yeah, you don't want to, not every day can be an expensive activity that they want to do. So, well, with that, ladies, I would love to thank you both for kind of coming and sharing. I've learned so much just talking to you, and I think hopefully our listeners have gained an insight or two about how to navigate summer. I think we all will admit that every summer we're learning something different. And so having the opportunity to kind of catch up and understand how every family plans is really exciting. So to our listeners out there, I'd like to thank you for listening to the Bridge Podcast. Crew is so excited that we get the opportunity to come and share with you. So there's lots of, the Bridge has an episode every month hosted by a different ERG. So we will be back again later in the year, but check out all the ones in between, because everyone's got some great events that they're planning for the podcast. So a couple other quick reminders. So if you would like, you can participate in our podcast ponder question on Viva Engage. We will hand out some swag for participants there. We'll pick a random winner. But then I also want to just put a quick plug in for some events that we've got coming up. So in February, we have our pediatrician, Dr. Phil Boucher, and he is coming. It's going to be super, super exciting to listen to him talk. He is kind of a well-known pediatrician from Lincoln. And so if you have the chance, sign up for that. Also, though, we've got Crew Connections. So Crew Connections are different groups of people in different life stages. So we've got ones for teens and tweens that may, you know, maybe navigating summer. We also have, you know, kind of newborn and toddler. So anyone younger than five can kind of be in that group. So we have a few others, but particularly if you're planning summer camps, those are the two that might pertain to you. And if you're interested in joining those, definitely reach out. We can get you in connection with the leaders there. But it's a great opportunity to connect with people who are, like I said, navigating a similar life stage as you. And then last but not least, we do have our Cooking with Crew page, which is kind of just an ongoing page. We all have to feed our crew. And so any tips and tricks that people want to share, it's kind of a group that loves to participate and try new things. So check out for some new content there. We post monthly with different ideas, and usually we get an idea or two back from other participants. So with that, I'd like to conclude our podcast, and thanks everyone for listening.